Your brother taught the marching formation also.
Yes. The last time they marched was, they performed, was at the Zhonghua built the new building.
What year was that?
1952.
That was the last performance?
Last performance.
So
they played for Zhonghua then.
Uh-huh.
And Barbara Jean was drum major then.
Now, was Barbara Jean,
she started out with the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she led the parade all over.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was...
Won a lot of prizes.
That's marvelous. The Drum and Bugle Corps, the Girls Drum and Bugle Corps, have anything to do with this other Drum and Bugle Corps that formed?
No, then later on, years later, the other group organized.
You didn't have anything to do with that?
Didn't have anything to do with that.
Uh-huh. So this drum, Los Angeles Drum Corps.
Well, it was so unique because they were all girls,
mm-hmm.
and they were all Chinese.
Uh-huh. And that lasted from 1938 until
52.
The
last time. That's Zhonghua's opening.
How about any of the other organizations that you may have belonged to in Chinatown?
What about that?
Well, let's see, you've been active with the Mei Hua Club, the Los Angeles Chinese Women's Club.
Yes.
And your daughter has been active with the Chinese Women's Juniors, as well as the Drum Corps. How about any of the other organizations? Both of you, you know, seem to be very, very active women and civic-minded women in among the Chinese in Los Angeles.
Yes. Well, every time they have something going on in Chinatown, they always ask her to come out and perform, and so she's done a lot of
mm-hmm.
charity work down there.
And Barbara Jean, You're intimately associated with the New Year's activities, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
You have been. You know, tell us something about that.
I've coordinated and directed the Miss Chinatown beauty pageant for the last, I think about 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sponsored by the Chinese Chamber of Commerce.
And that started when?
In the form that we do it, I guess it's been about 14 years. They did have some Miss Chinatown representation before that, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't organized in the same manner, and I don't believe they had formal contests other than maybe about 2 years before I took over.
Mm-hmm. So how are these girls selected then, the candidates, that is?
We have a panel of five judges,
mm-hmm.
and they judge on the basis of personality, poise, facial and physical appearance.
Mm-hmm. Then how do the girls come, you know, to become candidates? Where
it's just advertised and word of mouth, you know.
Uh-huh.
I know many of our contestants have encouraged their friends
uh-huh.
to participate. We've tried to build it in a way that we would be encouraging young Chinese girls to participate
uh-huh.
in Chinese events so as to build their interest in the Chinese community and to develop more knowledge of their own cultural background
mm-hmm.
as well as to develop self-confidence
mm-hmm.
and interest in presenting themselves to the public.
Mm-hmm. So you don't solicit candidates from any of the Chinese organizations,
no.
so to speak.
Mm-hmm. the Chinese organizations might encourage, you know, young ladies that they would know about,
mm-hmm.
but we don't.
They don't. You don't
necessarily
sponsor.
Go to them.
I see. So you don't have. I mean, like I've seen, say in San Francisco, such and such an organization
mm-hmm.
sponsors this girl.
Right. Well, we have sponsors now, but they don't always know the girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we just ask for their support to help the girls out.
Oh, I see. So it's so
in
when
a
you see
way.
Such and such mm-hmm. an organization sponsoring this girl, it means
in a monetary
in
way.
In a monetary
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Basically, the Chinese Chamber of Commerce wanted to just encourage more interest and participation by community organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we decided to have sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did it used to be before you took over? How was it?
Mm-hmm. I think they had a couple of contests, but I really don't know too much about them.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes they would just select a girl that they might know
mm-hmm.
to represent Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. So when you came on the scene, you reorganized it until
the format, yes,
that
uh-huh.
it is now.
And I had certain ideas that I wanted to develop.
Uh-huh. Now, have you expanded on? I mean, not just the Miss Chinatown, but isn't there a younger?
Oh, for a few years we did have a Miss Teenage Chinatown,
uh-huh.
but they're two separate contests, really, and it was just too, well, not too much work, but it was too much involvement doing two separate contests in one. So
mm-hmm.
we decided to just work on the main one, Miss Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
and we've always hoped to start the Miss Teenage again.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you
haven't as yet.
I see. So then when Miss Los Angeles Chinatown, I take it that's her title,
uh-huh.
is selected, then you send her up to
the San Francisco,
San Francisco
contest for the Miss Chinatown USA contest.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So has any Los Angeles girl been fortunate to carry off that title?
Not Miss Chinatown herself, but we've had first runner-ups.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
hopefully
good.
One of these days.
One of these days. Now, so do you have anything to do with her expenses or seeing, you know, that the getting the prizes and all the other
we have
details?
Right. I coordinate the entire affair, but we do have the chamber very involved now, so they select committee people to help us out in obtaining prizes
mm-hmm.
and sponsors.
And then also the expenses of running the...
Right. Mm-hmm.
How much would you say it costs to run a Miss Chinatown contest? I mean, what is your budget, for instance, in a typical year?
Oh, perhaps around 7,000 now. Mm-hmm.
It gets quite costly.
Right.
And then is there an age limit too?
For the girls? They are to be 18 through 24.
And any other restrictions?
Of Chinese descent, single.
Mm-hmm. Now when you say Chinese descent, it can mean that she may be part Chinese.
Well, we have had girls who had one parent Chinese. However, the feeling now from the chamber is that they would prefer to have both parents Chinese.
Mm-hmm. The girls, you know, are selected from just by this group of judges and about five judges.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they and then you have this big event at this time when the judges do their thing, I guess.
Right. We have a dinner and a dance.
Mm-hmm. And so then are the girls, do they participate in some kind of, say, showing off their talents or something like that?
We don't happen to have the talent portion in our Los Angeles contest.
Oh, I see. So it's just really based on the things that you had mentioned about
right,
poise
they,
and personality.
They appear in a bathing suit, and they appear in a Chinese jiangsan.
I see. Now, but I know that the Chinatown, Miss Chinatown USA, is partially based on talent, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do the Los Angeles girls compete in that kind of situation, then, if they're selected?
For the last 5 or 6 years now, we have our newly elected Miss Chinatown enter the San Francisco one the following year, so she does have that year to prepare herself.
Oh, okay. Because we were wondering how, you know, I was wondering how she would, you know, be able to compete in that way. So you've seen that Miss Chinatown grow also in the contest.
Yes, right.
So that it's...
The very first one that I did was a luncheon in one of the Chinese restaurants. And we had an attendance of about 250 to 300. And we thought it was so successful that we then decided to go to a hotel restaurant because we didn't have any restaurants in Chinatown that would hold more people. So ever since then, we've had at least 800, 900 to 1,000 people.
My goodness. You're getting a lot of support from
yes,
the Chinese community.
It is growing. And of course the Chinese Chamber of Commerce is becoming more actively involved in our committee also.
Well, that's marvelous. And
they used to just leave it to our committee alone, which is a volunteer group of interested Chinese people.
Now, how else have you been involved, say, in Chinatown activities, Barbara?
Well, all through my life, I guess, I've always participated in some form or another, like performing for them, basically. When I was a child, I used to sing and dance and twirl the baton for the drum corps. And I've always been very active in the church.
And then
throughout
the
years as I grew older, of course, I joined various organizations and then helped our community through service projects.
Now, have you, let's see, you grew up, you were born and raised in Los Angeles also. Now, is English or Chinese the predominant language in your home?
Well, when I was a child, it was half and half. And when I was with my grandfather, of course, it was all in Chinese. But then, after he passed away, I didn't use my Chinese as much, and now basically it's English. Although my mother, you know, still speaks to us in Chinese.
You still speak Chinese. Do you speak Sayap Wa?
Sayap
Bo. And you went to Chinese school. Wow. So.
Short time. I don't read or write it.
The Chinese school was sponsored by, down in Chinatown. By the Presbyterian Church also,
yes, they have one too now. They didn't used to have one.
Oh, so which Chinese school did you attend?
Well, I attended the, it was a Presbyterian later years. When I was a child, we didn't have any.
I see.
So I only went a short time.
And then how about you, Barbara? Did you attend Chinese school?
I went to Chinese school for about one semester, I believe. That was through the Chinese Presbyterian Church at that time. And then when I went to USC, I took up Mandarin. I don't remember any of it now.
So you have grown up mainly outside of Chinatown.
Right.
And then how about your friends? Have they been mostly of Chinese or, you know, other races?
Well, I was raised right here in Hollywood, so most of my friends in this particular area were non-Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother has always taken me back to visit my grandfather, or just going back to Chinatown constantly on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I have never lost contact with Chinese people. And then also, we've always been very active in the church.
Uh-huh.
And we
I
do
see.
Attend a Chinese congregation.
Uh-huh. The Chinese congregation,
right.
The church.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, my church was is the Presbyterian Church,
uh-huh.
Chinese Presbyterian Church.
Oh, not the Chinese congregation.
Right.
Then how did you meet your husband then? Was it through
when
the
I
church?
Was going to school in New York. I went to Columbia University.
Oh,
and
you?
I met him while I was in New York.
Uh-huh. So
and just by chance, he had planned to come out here for school.
Uh-huh.
And so it worked out
uh-huh.
just perfectly.
How did you happen to go to Columbia? Did you go on after you had attended a SC?
I graduated from USC, and then I decided to go for graduate work.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was your major?
At USC it was speech,
uh-huh.
which was basically in the drama field.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to Columbia, it was called English and Theater Arts.
I see. So have you ever been active then in the theater and arts field then?
So yes. As a child, I worked a lot on radio.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only and first Chinese
mm-hmm.
on radio. I started out as a child actress doing both boys and girls parts.
Mm. How did you get involved in that? Did your mother
well,
secure these parts
to my mother,
for you?
No, as a child, she said I was very, very shy.
Uh-huh.
That was when I was very young, two, 3 years old. And so she decided to take me to a dancing school to take
uh-huh.
dancing lessons. And, of course, the dancing teacher also taught a little drama.
Uh-huh.
And they happened to have a call from one of the radio stations where they wanted some children to put on a program.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady took her entire class, I guess it was,
mm-hmm.
to the radio station. And we performed there, and
she was picked.
And the man then asked if a little boy and I could do a weekly skit
mm-hmm.
on his children's show. He had a children's program called Uncle Huo Bill.
Uncle what?
Huo Bill.
How do you spell it?
Whoa, and then Bill, B-I-L-L.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
They would use that saying for the children who would get hurt. They would tell them to say Huo Bill so it wouldn't hurt anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so the lady wrote the script and she directed it, and this Caucasian boy and I did a weekly skit called Billy and Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it became such a big hit that we did it, I think, twice a week for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, one day, some man from CBS, I believe it was, approached my mother, who was sitting in the other room watching us
mm-hmm.
perform. He asked her if she would be willing to take me to CBS
mm-hmm.
because they were looking for a child to do a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So she took me over there, and I was selected, and it was my very first professional event, I guess you'd say.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Bing Crosby's show, and we did a commercial, I think it was for Woodbury Soap.
Yeah, that's right.
And
how old were you at the time?
I think I must have been
Four.
About, no, I think I must have been around five or so,
mm-hmm.
because I started when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I had to memorize scripts because I wasn't reading yet, but
they had to put you on a box, stand on a box, you were so little.
But from then on, after I started professionally, I must have been about 7 or 8 then when I did my first professional show. Mm-hmm. I started when I was 4 or 5 with a kiddie show, this mm-hmm. children's show. But after that first professional commercial, they were looking for a child for another program.
Mm-hmm.
And from then, from there, mm-hmm. they asked if I would, you know, try out for that, and I mm-hmm. did. And after that, they just kept calling mm-hmm. me. I didn't have an agent or anything.
Called her.
The different directors and uh-huh. the producers just called us directly
uh-huh.
at home. And I started working, and I was a charter member of AFTRA,
uh-huh.
which was AFRA in the very beginning, just for radio artists.
Uh-huh.
And I worked all the way through until television came in.
Uh-huh. And so you've not been involved in television then?
Oh, some. Mm-hmm. I did some shows, yes. Mm-hmm. And I did some films, mm-hmm. and I did some theater work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Until I was married and had children, then I stopped.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about your children? How many children do you have?
I have 4 daughters.
Uh-huh. Then have any of them shown an interest in
when they were
the theater
young,
arts?
When they were young, they performed on the stage and in some films and television.
Mm-hmm. Now, do all 4 daughters now, have they continued to express an interest in the theater arts or anything? Or
no, not really, no.
Uh-huh. They've all gone on to other things.
In other areas, yes, uh-huh. uh-huh. My oldest daughter is now a counselor at
mm-hmm.
Marshall High School.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated from USC.
Mm-hmm.
My second daughter graduated from UCLA,
mm-hmm.
and she manages a women's wear boutique.
Mm-hmm.
My third daughter is a senior at Cal State, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest daughter is in graphics. At Cal State Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. That is the one who is very close to the art field.
Right, yes, I guess so.
Well, you've seen a lot of changes, you know, from being in, you know, television and seeing the changes that have taken place in television shows. Do you see any improvement or anything like that, say in the roles for Chinese, or do you think that that the Chinese still have a long ways to go in the theater?
Well, I'm sure that I would say they have a long ways to go, although I've seen progress.
Mm-hmm.
It's slow, but...
Now, have you ever felt that in all the time that you were, you know, in the performing arts there, have you ever had any roles that were you had to turn down because you thought it was not fitting, or do you think that you've been treated very fairly?
Well, I've always been treated very fairly,
mm-hmm.
especially on radio. I didn't play Chinese roles.
Uh-huh.
I did everything. I did finally get to do a Chinese role when I was a teenager, but throughout my younger years, I played just all different types.
Mm-hmm. Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, I had an English accent for Alice in Wonderland, and I was a Negro girl or black girl for the Amos and Andy show. I played the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, went for the interview against black children, but
mm-hmm.
I won it. I won the part.
Did you have to adopt some kind of an accent?
Yes, right, a southern.
Then how did you adopt these English accents and southern accents?
I just listened
uh-huh.
to the other, you know, people. And
mm-hmm.
I just followed along.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't have any training in dialects,
mm-hmm.
but I was able to do it.
You have a good ear then.
I suppose so.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Scotch dialects,
mm-hmm.
Fr- French accents, German accents, you name it. I've done all of them when I was very young.
So when, well, in radio, you can do these things. They can't associate
right.
the voice with
well,
the
I played
face.
A lot of boy parts also.
Uh-huh.
I played, what's his name, Duke of Windsor. You know, Prince Edward.
Uh-huh.
I played Tiny Tim
mm-hmm.
on the Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have albums. Tiny Tim is in it.
Then
so it was a variety of roles.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
right.
just a Chinese girl.
So that would have been a lot easier than in television where you would have a visual. Would there, do you think that there's a visual kind of a problem?
Well, naturally, then you'd have to be selected, you know,
just
to see whether you look the part also.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
on radio, I was able to do everything as long as I was able to use the dialects,
mm-hmm.
or if it wasn't a dialect part, as long as I was able to do the part for the director,
mm-hmm.
then I could...
Do you still recall, you know, those accents that you did when you were saying you did English accents or French?
Oh, I recall them.
You can you still do dialects?
Oh, I'm sure I could if I, you know, had to do a role like that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, you know, exciting that you were a pioneer, you know, really, in this field, because do you know of any other Chinese American who was active, like, you know, in, say, in radio like you were?
I knew of one Chinese man.
Who was that?
Harold Fong.
Mm-hmm. Was he from Los Angeles, or?
I don't remember where he was. I think he was from another state.
Mm-hmm.
But I did work with him a couple of times, and he was the only Chinese who ever worked on radio with me.
And was he a young man at the time?
Well, at the time, I was young, so and he was older.
Uh-huh. Do you recall him, meeting him with his wife? Yeah. So that was... So in those days, then, did you have to... sign contracts
mm-hmm.
and all that. I mean, since you were a minor, your parents
mm-hmm.
had to take you and
mm-hmm.
sign contracts to protect your rights, so to speak, or do they have
well, in
like
the very
that?
Beginning, no, they didn't have those
mm-hmm.
kinds of rights.
Those kinds of problems.
Right.
I
mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's really exciting.
Well, that's one reason I attended professional school.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my work.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't attend regular
public schools.
So you did this until the time you graduated then?
Well, all the way
from
through
high
until
school.
I was married. And I did work when I was in New York also, when I went to school at Columbia.
You were
some
still
of
doing
the directors remembered me from
uh-huh.
out here, so I did get to work. Back there also.
In radio in
yes.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you were married then,
mm-hmm.
then that was when you dropped it.
Well, radio was then phasing
yeah.
out as far as the dramas were concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And television was in.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so I did work on television.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was on some of those early shows where you memorized the entire script and they filmed it.
Mm-hmm. Which show would that have been, do you recall? Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the shows.
You don't remember which?
I can't remember the names of those early shows.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie might know. Because she was my agent for television and
oh,
films.
I see. So do you
but I never had an agent for radio because they just called me directly.
Uh-huh. So do you have plans to continue on, say, into
not really.
Television?
I'm a teacher now. I'm an elementary school teacher.
What grade do you teach?
Right now I'm teaching English as a second language for the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades.
And which school is this?
Los Feliz Elementary.
Mm-hmm. Is it mostly for children of Hispanic or?
Hispanic and Armenians mainly. I have a few Asians.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you've seen a lot of these changes then, you know, just within your own family, where you've seen this use of language, you know, your own family, your use of the Chinese language fading and then, you know, coming. What do you think, you know, what are some of your thoughts on this use of language in this?
Well, I think it's a wonderful feeling to be able to see and hear all these different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And although I don't speak all the different languages, I am able to communicate with these children. And that's how I teach them English.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you mean when you say you are able to communicate with them?
Well, in the method that I use in teaching them. I use a lot of photographs. I use a lot of repetition.
Mm-hmm. So that this, you don't need to use their language. You
right,
use
I don't use their language at all.
Use the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how about your children? Do they, have they studied Chinese? We're going, you know, from one language
no.
to another. So they don't speak Chinese.
No,
then.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. Have they?
My oldest daughter understands.
Understands Cantonese?
Yes.
So, Grandma, do you speak, Mrs. Walsh,
yeah.
said, do you speak Chinese to your children to when they were little or something?
No, not exactly. I speak Chinese now and then, but
mm-hmm.
they answer you in English.
Do you have much occasion now to speak Chinese?
I'm in Chinatown. I have a flower shop down there.
Oh, do you? Oh,
so I'm
I
there
didn't
every
realize
day.
That. You're still active then. You have a flower shop?
Yes.
You went from the restaurant business then into the flower shop
business. A long time ago.
You went into the flower shop business.
Business. Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal then with
Chinese
people. Now, I'm sure you've also seen a changing scene in Chinatown, too. We've noticed, you know, like with the influx of Vietnamese
all
Chinese.
Vietnam
well, how
yes.
have you, you know, I mean, how long have you had your flower store?
About 25, 30 years now.
And what changes have you seen then in Chinatown? Can you tell us about?
All the old people's gone now. There are new people in Chinatown, mostly Vietnam people.
Mm-hmm.
And Taiwan people.
Mm-hmm. So
they bought a lot of business down in Chinatown. They've taken over a lot of places.
Both the Taiwan and
Vietnam people.
So the right now there are fewer Cantonese,
oh,
you're
good.
Saying? About how, what is the percentage, do you think?
Probably
you
half and half now.
About half and half now. What do you think the trend will be in the next 20 years?
I don't know.
I mean, like, have you seen a change in your customers to indicate?
Yes, I've seen a lot of changes.
Can you tell us something?
Well, like, the older people are all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them sold their business or retired.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mostly all Vietnam business down there, you know,
mm-hmm.
half of Chinatown, practically.
So that the younger people have not gone into,
no,
have not taken over
no.
their parents' business.
Of course, the younger people now, they all have good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They go to school, they're all engineer or doctors or dentists. And
mm-hmm. So are you able to communicate with these, the newer people then? Are you talking
some.
About from Taiwan and from Vietnam?
Some of them, they could. But they have their own business too, you know.
Oh, so whom do you do your business?
I have all my old customers,
uh-huh.
old standbys.
Uh-huh.
They're not from Chinatown, out of them.
I see. So
not
that's
my friends are all over the city.
Uh-huh. So your customers then would not be the newcomers.
They have their own flower shop now.
Mm-hmm.
They've opened up two of them.
I've noticed something that in Chinatown that I had not seen for long. Well, I don't think I've ever seen it in this Chinatown. Is that on occasion when I have gone down there, there have been, you know, funerals going by.
Funeral processions. They always have that. They've always had it.
You've always had that,
yes.
Even when you were a child,
yes.
Growing up. I guess I've just not been in Chinatown that often, but has it been customary for the funeral procession to pass through Chinatown, regardless of whether the person lived there?
Well, I guess that's the only direction they can go to go to the Chinese cemetery. They always pass through Chinatown. Have a certain way to go to the Chinese cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they pass through. In olden days, they used to pass through. You belong to an organization, association, they always pass through there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a store down there, they like to go through. But now they all go through. Every funeral goes through Chinatown.
Regardless of whether they live there or not.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So
especially
have you
now with the funeral parlor up on Hill Street,
mm-hmm.
up on Sunset, they mm-hmm. always come down on Hill Street and turn.
And turn.
Turn down in Bernard.
Every turn down Bernard and then go down, Broadway.
Broadway, then they go out to the Chinese cemetery.
Uh-huh. So you haven't, you don't know what the significance is of their going through the Chinatown area.
But I know they've always gone through that way.
Even when you were a young child. I think that, you know, that's about all the questions that I have. Can you think of something that I've missed that you would like to share about your thoughts, say for the future of your own family, for instance? You know, your thoughts about the being Chinese American, or have you ever thought about that for yourself?
I would hope that they would continue to remember their culture and
mm-hmm.
to continue developing an interest and to learn more about their culture.
Mm-hmm. So the important part, you know, of all of these activities that you've been doing has been towards identifying with your people, so to speak. You see,
well, I don't think I've ever lost my identity,
mm-hmm.
so it isn't necessarily to you know, capture it again.
Mm-hmm. How about for your children?
I would just like to strengthen it and
uh-huh.
to make sure that the future generations might
mm-hmm.
maintain an interest or to develop an interest
uh-huh.
in it.
Well, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate this. Now, tell me something about this picture now. That
mm-hmm.
It shows the Los Angeles Chinese Mewa girls in front of the Chinese Consolidated Benevolent Association. This was their grand opening.
Right, and this was, I think, one of our last performances
uh-huh.
As a Mewa Drum Corps. The Mewa Drum Corps was formed as the Los Angeles Chinese Mewa Girls Drum Corps because the original members were members of our Mewa Club.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mewa Drum Corps is basically an extension of our club.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was not formed by the club itself, it
mm-hmm.
was formed by my uncle David Suhu.
Mm-hmm.
But the original members were the members of the Mewa Club. And then afterwards, other members of the drum corps were just interested girls,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily from the Mewa Club.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that helps to distinguish this group of girls and why, you know, this particular sign.
It was
sign.
Open to all young interested girls
uh-huh.
in the Los Angeles area.
I see. Okay, we're looking at this picture of your family. When was this picture taken? Do you recall?
It must be in service. It must be 1945.
Uh-huh.
See when they're both in service.
Uh-huh. Right, and then this is your
My
father. Your father. And this is a...
My sister-in-law.
She's married to...
Peter Suhu.
And...
She's Peter's wife.
I see. What was her name?
Lily.
Lily Suhu.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first and only American-born Chinese woman
mm-hmm.
to be named consul of China.
And she was consul of China for Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Right.
From what years to what years, do you recall?
Well, probably the time of when she... When did she die?
Six, 7 years ago?
Oh, no, it's longer than that.
And her family is still here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know Holly, the one who lives next door to Dolores?
Mm-hmm.
That's her sister.
I see. So that Lily was, what was her maiden name?
Tom.
Lily Tom?
Tom Leung.
She was both,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Uh-huh. she was born in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so she became consul.
Right, and she was the only American-born one because it, you know, they
mm-hmm.
usually send somebody from China.
Yes.
But she had been a secretary to the Chinese consulate for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess they liked her so
mm-hmm.
much that they decided to make her.
Now, was she secretary to the consul T.K. Chang?
Yes,
because
uh-huh. all of them.
And then Qiang,
mm-hmm.
and who's the other one?
From the very beginning, when they opened the Chinese consulate here,
mm-hmm.
they interviewed over 100 girls for secretary. And they chose her. And she was there all the time. It must be before Pat, because she took off for a few months when Pat was
mm-hmm.
born.
Mm-hmm. Now, when
then she went
ago.
Back.
So when did they first open the Chinese consulate here?
I remember.
Must be over 40 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And see, here's Christine. You've heard of Christine Ong, a Doi,
mm-hmm.
the one who works at the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's granddaughter.
That's right there. She's my cousin.
Oh. Then who else is in this picture?
This is Richard Lane Tom.
Mm-hmm.
He's an architect in Orange County.
He's my sister's boy. This is Dora. This
mm-hmm.
is David.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying that she's a charter member of...
I see. She's the charter member of
NAWA
Club.
Only one left.
And that's your sister...
Law.
Sister-in-law.
Law.
Mm-hmm.
My brother David.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's his way.
Now, who is this?
My sister's husband. This one.
Uh-huh.
Christine's uncle.
I see.
Grandfather.
Oh, grandfather. Grandfather.
But she knows a lot about
yeah.
China.
She's the one that...
She was the first woman, or what is it? Or one of two women, Chinese women,
director of the New Chinatown, when my brother built the New Chinatown.
What is her name?
Lucille Yi. She's the one that had the China Dior,
mm-hmm.
Chinese jade.
Mm-hmm.
They've retired now.
I see.
But they still live in China.
Yeah,
they have buildings, you know. They're one of the ones who built the buildings
mm-hmm.
Of their own.
I see.
She knows mostly
uh-huh.
about the New Chinatown deal.
All right.
I didn't pay too much attention in those days.